Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, today joined by Chris Hartung. Well, let's get into it. That was an election, and it is an election that, as we suspected, is going to go down in South African history as one that was quite monumental for a variety of reasons. But before we talk a little bit about the results, I just want to talk about the efficiency and the running of the election. So I volunteered as a party agent observer during the counting of ballots. I also voted at a station in Johannesburg. And I'm relatively experienced. I've kind of done this sort of thing in almost every single election up until now. And I will say that this election was, since at least 2010, and I suspect since at least 2000, the worst run election I have ever seen in South African history. In many places, the IEC's electronic tablets, in fact, I think almost over the whole country, which were supposed to be able to electronically detect people on the voters' roll, failed, and people had to go to crossing names off manually on a paper list on the voters' roll, which is much slower, especially when a lot of the IEC staff were badly trained, inexperienced, kind of caught like deer in the headlights. Took ages to do it. In other places, the presiding officers who from the IEC who run each of the voting stations refused to go through the lists manually and just kept trying to get the tablets to work. And in fact, the IEC's CEO had to put out a directive nationally to instruct them to do so. And that certainly is going to, I think, have some kind of negative effect on the turnout in this election. Now, adding to this is the fact that sort of halfway through the day, the IEC announced that the turnout is going to be up, whereas we obviously don't have the final count by a long way yet, but it does look to me like the turnout is probably down, actually, in many places across the country, which I think speaks to the fact that the IEC really didn't have a good grasp on what was going on during the day. So when I was involved with the counting, the voting station closes at 9, or at least the ones that didn't have a massive queue outside closed at 9. The ones that had the massive queues, some of them only closed many hours later. Our counting process at a fairly well-run station took until 5 in the morning, and it had all sorts of chaotic elements in it, confusion, mistakes, having to redo things. At one point, some party agents affiliated to the EFF decided to start counting some ballots themselves, but they were stopped, and nothing bad happened, but that almost could have been a very terrible thing. Party agents from the parties are not allowed to touch ballots, so that was really unfortunate. And I think that was a kind of a microcosm of how it was across the country. I talked to other people who observed the counting of ballots in many places. While I suspect the results are pretty accurate all over the place, I don't think, at least I've heard of anything serious in terms of inaccurate reporting. The level of chaos and just inefficiency and all that kind of thing definitely was a very bad show. It took me 90 minutes to vote. I've heard other people at the same voting station as me. It took them 3 hours. I know some voting stations where people waited in line for more than 6 hours to vote. Others waited in line for something like 3 hours, 4 hours. So while this wasn't universal, there were some stations that seemed to work quite well. Generally speaking, I think a really poor performance by the IEC across the board, and definitely something they need to improve the next election. We can never have another election like this. Chris, what do you think?
So two things to add, I'll defer to you. Everything else, I think I've pretty much got covered. But just on budget cuts, financing issues for the IEC, whether that's, I'm not saying one can put all of the turmoil down to that, but over the last couple of years, the IEC, as many government departments, have experienced budget cuts. And just to mention the specific figures, from 2019 to 2026, 2027, you had around 270 billion rand over that time period cut. The budget for 2024-25 was cut by 31 million rand from the amount that had been penciled into the medium-term budget framework a year earlier. So that's one thing maybe to highlight. And then secondly, the three ballot system, where, you know, that's from Parliament. That's, you know, passed by Parliament. Whether there was adequate time to realize voter education, how does this work, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not saying it's an overly complicated system, but I'm wondering, you know, communications, all that sort of stuff, whether enough of that was done.
Yeah, to add to that, there was, of course, also the Section 24 forms where if you wanted to vote at a station that you were not registered at, in the past, that was relatively easy to do. You just filled in an extra form when you went to vote. But this time, they said that you had to fill those in and deliver them before the 17th of May, a date which was not particularly well communicated, in my opinion. And as a result, there were at least a number of people who were not allowed to vote because they found out too late that their voting station that they would have voted at was not actually the one that they were registered. So just generally a bit of a mess across the board. Very not good. I know there were some voting stations still counting at like 10 this morning. So who knows if all the stations have even finished yet. But that being said, we do have some early results. We do have some projections from some of the big news companies in the country, ENCA and News24. And one thing they all seem to agree on in just broad strokes is that the ANC is very definitely not going to reach 50% of the vote. That Zuma's MK party has outperformed expectations and has done sort of up to kind of maybe 14% of the vote. The EFF looks like it hasn't had a great election. The DA, it's difficult to say so far, but it doesn't look like it's had an amazing election. It looks like it may have grown slightly, which I think, considering the competition the DA has faced, is probably something they'll be happy with, but we'll see what the final result says. And that a number of the new entrants really didn't make a big impact. One more thing I'll say, and I suspect this is true in many of the provinces around the country. At my voting station, there was not one single vote for any of the, I think it was three independent candidates on the Gauteng ballot. So it kind of makes you wonder, after all of this fuss and craziness to get these the accommodations made and the strange system set up for this election to make sure that independents could be on the ballot, they really don't seem to have done particularly well. I'm not sure if even one will make it to Parliament. I'm still waiting to hear from other provinces, but I don't think in Gauteng it's going to be the case. Chris, your thoughts on what we're seeing from the results so far?
I think the biggest things to highlight, the strength of MK in KZN. At the moment, you've got around 21% of voting districts completed, counted, and MK is around 43%. In KZN, the ANC around 20%. But MK not just constrained to KZN, doing well in Mpumalanga. Mpumalanga, ANC at the moment at 52%. In the Eastern Cape, it looks like the Eastern Cape is going to become the ANC's stronghold, and somewhere like Mpumalanga cannot even be assumed for them to be that sort of stronghold. The EFF, I don't think doing yet as well as maybe they had thought or hoped internally, and maybe some others, but they are making some inroads in the north of the country. So Mpumalanga, Limpopo, and the northwest. And does that mean the EFF is shifting to become a bit more of a rural party? I think that's something to consider. Gauteng, very likely, as many had expected, to be the most hotly contested. At the moment, it's looking like the ANC on 36, the DA on 29. So that's a very tight one. And then lastly, on the Western Cape, of course, is expected going for the DA, and the Patriotic Alliance doing very well there and in some other provinces. And it looks like the PA not eating into the DA, that's too easy, I think, in the Western Cape.
The ANC seems to have suffered more from the PA's rise than the DA has. Yeah. I know that I think it was News24 has projected that the DA is going to maintain its majority in the Western Cape, which I think the party will be very happy with.
Yeah, but I mean, that sort of last point, if you look at how the ANC campaigned so strongly on the ongoing conflict between Israel and Hamas in Gaza, taking Israel to the International Court of Justice, did that do enough to turn out voters for them? I'm not seeing that as yet. But as you say, it's still very early. So let's see what else shakes out the next couple of hours and the next few days.
Yes, I do think there are going to be probably some quite interesting patterns and developments that come out of the data as we get more and more results. So far, I think, and I may be speaking as someone of ignorance here, but I do wonder whether there's going to be some more adjustments in various directions to the major projections that ENCA and News24 have done. I suspect those projections that are out there on social media may be a couple of points off here or there. But generally speaking, I think we're already beginning to see that this was definitely an election that has changed the politics of South Africa. The ANC is for the first time going to have to form some sort of coalition in order to remain in national government with a majority in parliament.
Nick, just to mention, sorry, last point. Regardless of how low the ANC gets, low 40s or just under or around 50, 2004, the party got 69%. So just keep that in mind and in context. These trend lines and how things are shifting.
Exactly. And I think the MK party has also created a very big problem for the ANC in that, and this is really my own theory, but I suspect we may see more of this. The EFF and MK together have kind of proven that you can very much get somewhere in South African politics by going outside of the ANC, even if you're someone who lives within the ideological and worldview of the ANC. So if you can kind of, you know, view the EFF and ANC and MK all as a sort of a block, well, firstly, overall, it looks like that block may do slightly worse than the ANC plus the EFF last time. And secondly, I think this is going to create incentives for other ambitious politicians within the ANC who perhaps are seeing an opportunity for themselves to maybe break away and form their own parties to challenge the ANC kind of from outside and force themselves into better positions of government. I don't know. We'll have to see. I think that may be somewhere down the road. But I wonder now if President Cyril Ramaphosa is going to be able to remain not just the president of the country. I think that's fairly likely, at least in the short term. But the bigger question is, if the ANC's result is as bad as this, is he going to be able to hold on to the leadership of the ANC, or is someone going to try and topple him? It's very difficult for a party leader to survive such a massive defeat in an election like this. That being said, the ANC remains the biggest party in the country. So in some ways, there will, I think, be a fair amount of continuity. But the next 2 weeks in South African politics are going to be very interesting indeed. Now, before we close up for today, I just do want to say that there will be a much longer video, an hour-long Daily Friend episode tomorrow at 1:30. We will be streaming live on YouTube. And myself, Marius Ruart, Terence Corrigan, and John Endres will be talking about the results. We'll have, I'm sure, a lot more of the results by then, what the patterns are, and what we think this means for the future of South Africa, because I think there are a lot of conclusions to be drawn from that. Anyway, we hope you found this interesting. We will be back, of course, tomorrow with the Daily Friend Show. That's a wrap. The Daily Friend Show and the Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.